Good evening, friends. I appreciate your faith and your devotion to the Lord that brings you out on this beautiful evening. And it's very, very encouraging to see you. It really is. Very grateful to be here. Very honored to have this moment to say a few things from God's Word. And I hope that we all leave here a little bit more determined to get to heaven and be with God. Glad to be with you, friends. If this app was available, would you download it? If there was an app that you could get on your phone tonight that has all these features, and if you would just look at this and use it, as a result of this app, you'll have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Would that be a valuable app? Everything you need to know about being godly and how to find eternal life and even how to find abundant life here. Would you download that app? Would you use that app? Would you open it daily to see how it instructs you? What if this app would help you become a partaker of the divine nature? That is, you are able to understand God and be more like Him in character, at least, in outlook, in your view of life, and intimately closer to Him. Would you use that app? Or if you have this app and it promises that if you use it, you'll end up in heaven one day. It's going to open up an entrance into the everlasting kingdom, and you're guaranteed to get there. No question about it. Guaranteed to be in heaven if you use this app. Would you doubt? I think we all would. If that app was available, that would appeal to every one of us. We all would want to have these blessings in life. And that's the kind of thought Peter's sharing with us in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's revealing instructions, and he's telling brethren, this is how you get there. This is how you find eternal life. This is how you know God and understand Him. This is how it's done. I'm giving you the insight. I'm giving you the instructions. And you can read through all of this, but I just want to read verses 10 and 11 about he's talking about how making your call and election sure, that this is a real thing, a definite thing. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll never get off course. Obviously, you're going to struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. That's not what he's talking about. But in terms of finding the path to eternal life, he says, look, friends, this is it. This is it. You follow these instructions. You give yourself to them. You'll get there. You'll get there and you will find an abundant life along the way. But notice he says that we have to give all diligence to do that. Now, regarding this app, here's the price. The cost of this special app that I've been talking about is this right here. And this is what Peter outlines for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, that if you want all these things that I'm telling you about, then here's what it's going to cost you. You got to give yourself entirely to diligence and adding to your faith virtue, and adding to virtue knowledge, and adding to knowledge self-control, then adding patience, and add godliness, and add brotherly kindness, and add love. If you do all these things and you commit yourself to them, it's just going to open up. That it's going to blaze a way for you to find God and then to find the everlasting kingdom. That's some real appealing thoughts there for all of us. And so that's what this series is about. It's about making our call and election sure. And as he points out in this text, there are several things that's going to be required of us. And this month, at least on this topic, I'd like to look at giving all diligence. But Lord willing, for the remainder of the years, once a month, we'll look at this text and see what else Peter has to say about making our call and election sure, that it's a real thing, a definite thing, that we all end up in heaven when this is over. And he says that in order to do this, first of all, you got to have some diligence. And not only some diligence, you got to give all diligence, is what he says in verse 5. For this reason, giving all diligence, Add to your faith. Something about diligence that's important for us to remember is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that when we stand before God, we don't need to be ashamed if we give all diligence. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, why would we be ashamed standing before God? A lot of things that we could be very, very ashamed of, obviously. But what he's saying here is that if we stand before God and we know we did not try like we could have, we did not give that extra effort, we did not apply ourselves entirely to his will, we're going to stand before him and our heads are going to be hung low because we are ashamed knowing we could have done better than we did. And so he's saying, give all diligence to present yourself approved to God, knowing that, of course, he deserves our best. What is involved in the idea of giving all diligence? What can we think about that will help us apply this great quality that Peter is describing in this list of things we need to go to heaven? And I've narrowed it down to a few things to share with us, hopefully that we all, again, leave here closer to God and more ambitious in being with him. If you look at diligence, it's going to at least include the idea of determination. When you give all diligence, it's something that you're driven to do. It is of utmost importance, and there's an urgency to this. And nothing's going to distract you from this. I see what the definition is in Strong's in looking at this particular word, number 4710. And what's striking to me is that word in the Greek has the same root word for speed. Same word. Same thought. And if you look at the definition, it's referring to something with haste or earnestness in accomplishing or striving after anything. Now, it is remarkable that that Greek term is literally translated haste in a couple of different passages. The women who had John the Baptist killed, it says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 25 that they acted with haste to make sure this was done. It was something they wanted more than anything. For Herodias to have her daughter go before the king and say, here's what I want. I want that man's head on a silver platter. That's what we want more than anything. And it says they made haste to go and tell the king that. That's diligence. That's what God says that we are to apply in going to heaven. It's urgent. It's everything. That we're determined to see this thing accomplished. And we're not going to quit until it is. That's the thought Peter says we have to have in going to heaven. And he leads out the gate with that. Give it all diligence. Add to your faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 that we are to not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I noticed on our brother's charts this morning, good lesson, by the way, good series, really, from Romans 12. But I see that he has set up for June the topic of this idea of not being lazy, of being fervent in spirit. And that's going to be a good study. But see, that's the idea. You're not lagging in diligence. It's not something you just, get to it eventually. No, it's everything. It's something that you're just driven and passionate about, fervent in spirit, especially in living for God. And I just cannot help but think of this one event that happened many years ago. And when I heard about it, it just sealed the deal for me on this is what diligence means. We were living in Georgia at the time, and this story took place at least 25 years ago, at least that. But we were living around Dalton, Georgia, and the news report came out about a woman who was driving through Ringgold on Highway 41, and this particular part of the road had some deep ditches. I mean, if you drove in it, your car would be covered. Okay, these were deep ditches. And there was a big rain storm that came through, and she's driving, And she's washed off the road, and she is in that ditch, and it's full of water, and it's moving. And she has a little infant in the car seat. So her car is filling up with water. And so she gets out of the vehicle. Fortunately, she grabs her child. Very fortunate. But the water is swift. It's moving. And they're just going down with this current. And the report was that she's holding her child. And then there was a branch extended over the ditch, over the water. And she grabbed onto that branch and she held onto it for a long period of time until somebody came and pulled her out. Now, when I heard that, I thought that is exactly what God's talking about. When you're diligent, it's everything. It's everything. I mean, that woman was not like, well, you know what? I'll get around to saving my child's life, or I'll get around to saving my life some. It's really not that most. It's not most important. And we know that's foolish. Because she illustrated the desire to live. I want more than anything. I want to live, and I want my child to live. And so she held on. As long as she had strength and the ability to choose, she held on with everything she had. She was determined to live. That's the thought Peter says you and I need to have in going to heaven. It has to be everything. It's not just, well, I'll get around to it when I can. It's everything. This is everything. God is everything. Being with God is everything. Passing the test is everything. And that's exactly what he says in Hebrews chapter 6 in contrasting diligence with being sluggish. Now, before I read this, I'm going to read Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. But when your car is sluggish, what's happening? When your computer is sluggish, what's happening? When your phone is sluggish, what's happening? When your husband is sluggish, what's happening? What's going on? We understand that the car, these devices, they're not performing at peak performance. They're not meeting their potential, right? It's either because maybe the fluids need to be changed in the vehicle to hit peak performance. Maybe the computer has too many files that need to be cleaned out. Maybe your phone has too many files or pictures it's trying to process, can't do it all, need to clean it out or reboot the system. Something's happening where there's just too much going on and there are too many distractions taken away from the purpose of that device. That's what sluggish means. You're not operating as well as you can, and some changes have to happen. That new mind has to take place that our brother mentioned even this morning. Well, that's what God says in Hebrews chapter 6 in verses 11. He says, don't get sluggish in going to heaven. Don't become lax in this. It says in verse 11 and verse 12, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You're holding on. I mean, I want to live more than anything. And I want my family, I want to live. And so it's diligence, not lax in your approach. Well, when I look at this term again, something else comes to mind in comparing it to the rest of God's word. And this concept of being a person who sacrifices. That when we give all diligence, we're willing to deny ourselves in any way we can to accomplish the task. And I say that because that's what Jesus taught. Jesus said that the road to heaven is very narrow. Very narrow. The path of eternal destruction is what? It's broad, it's wide, and there are many who go in on by it. But the path that leads to everlasting life is very confining. And he says there are very, very few who will take that path. It's not saying that there's just a limited space in heaven, that there's just not enough room for everybody to get there. That's not what he's teaching. But Jesus is saying that very few are going to get to heaven because very few want to live to go to heaven. Very few will give diligence to go to heaven. In Luke chapter 13, notice where he says this in verse 22. In Luke chapter 13, because Jesus has taught this concept of very few people going, and he's asked about it. Did you word that right that day on the beach? You know, did you mean to say few? Didn't you mean to say a whole bunch of us are going to heaven and very few won't make it? Perhaps you weren't performing right. Maybe you got your words mixed up. And that's what they're asking him in Luke chapter 13. In verse 22, he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? Did you get that right? Is that what you meant to say? There are few saved? He said to him, or to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you'll begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. He will say, I tell you, I do not know you where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. Now, what do you think that means? When he says that there's a narrow gate to get to heaven. Seriously, what do you think that means? Now, I pointed this out. I thought that was pretty interesting that the term strive, the Greek word is the same word we get our word agonize. Something that requires commitment and sacrifice from us to accomplish. You agonize to meet the confinement. But seriously, what do you think he means when he says that the gate into eternal life is a narrow gate, a very narrow gate? What does he mean by that? And I would think we understand he's talking about you just can't do what everyone else is doing, right? That's what he's saying. You cannot be like everyone else when it comes to matters of faith, when it comes to matters of morality, when it comes to exercising devotion to the Lord. You're not going to be like everyone else. And you're going to have to do things that will make you unpopular, where people are going to oppose you. People are not going to approve of you because of your stand for truth or righteousness or whatever it might be. And Jesus doesn't apologize for that. He doesn't apologize for calling us down a path that is so unpopular. Instead, when he was asked about it again, he says, hey, you better pony up, because it's for real. It really is narrow. And you have to keep in mind that it's like going before the master of the house. You're banging on the door to get in. He's saying, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Good invitation the other night, by the way, from Lawson, talking about that. Good thought. I don't know you, is what he says. And they're going to say, well, look, hey, we had some good moments in life. We did some good things for you. We praised you and let you have good moments with us. You were in our streets. I don't know you. I don't know you because you did not seek me first in life. And that's why he said there are last who will be first and the first who will be last. If you put him last in life, okay, you're not going to come in first. But if you put him first in life, you're going to be last here. But you're going to be first with him, especially in eternity. Well, why would we do that? Why would we live like that? It's because we're giving diligence. We're agonizing to be with the Lord. Diligence is sacrifice in the sense that we forsake everything to be with him. In Luke chapter 14, notice how he says this in verse 25, beginning. He talks about sacrifice. He says, great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now think about this man had a lot of people following him, and he turns around and says, look, you got to hate everybody. You got to hate everybody if you're going to be my disciple. You got to love me more than everybody in your life. Well, that's a real winning statement. That's going to gain even more popularity with people if he turns around and says, hey, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple unless I'm number one, unless you put me first before everybody and everything in life. And he says that to them. And he doesn't stop. He says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's not easy, is what he's saying. I don't apologize for that. That's something you have to do if you really want to go. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now let me stop there before I read the rest. Here he's about to point out the fact that there is no merit in starting something and not finishing it. Anybody can start stuff. All day long we start stuff. But he says the value is in finishing it, completing the task. That's what he's about to describe. And he's doing that because that's how it is in going to heaven. Anybody can start. Anybody can start. The value is in staying committed and not giving up until you get there. So you got to count the cost. I remember growing up, when I was a little bit older, we would go play at a friend's house. And then we were, like I said, older. And we would play in the vacant side of this house because for years, this house had a new addition on it, and it was 2/3 larger than the main section of the house. And for years, it was just the outer wall and the roof and the floor. Some of the inner walls were not even complete. The ceiling wasn't complete. And it just sat like that for so long, even to the point, I mean, I graduated high school and it was still like that. I mean, the thing hadn't changed in years. And it was decaying and becoming weaker as time went on. But looking back, it is a good visual of what Jesus is saying, that somebody didn't count the cost. Somebody started it, but didn't fully think about what would be involved in committing to the project and finishing the project. That's what he says in verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he had laid the foundation is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Now, he's pointed out a fact that even going to war, you need to think about what's involved, the commitment. And let's just hope and pray that Russia did not think this out fully and they're going to fail in their evil against Ukraine. Let's hope they fail. Let's hope they don't finish that evil task they're starting. Jesus says that's just a fact, though. I mean, it happens. There are people that start out, don't finish. Or else, he says, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. There is no merit in starting and not finishing. I mean, seriously, how many of us have bought the exercise equipment, bought the gear? That first week, we got with it. After that, Facebook, it's on, you know, Marketplace. We're selling all this stuff years later because we're no longer determined. We're no longer willing to sacrifice, no longer committed to the task. Or what about gardening? I mean, this happens sometimes. You know, people till the ground, they work the ground, they get the seed, the fertilizer, they even plant it. But then they walk away, don't weed it, and often the vegetation dies in the field because nobody's there to work the garden. It shows the folly of starting and not finishing. And that's exactly what he says here. We have to be people who finish this. Now, again, I commend you. I really do. I commend you for being here because it shows you are determined to keep God first in life. And I do commend you. I really do. And those listening, I commend you as well. But this thing's not over. It's not over. We have to be people who continue to sacrifice and continue to serve and give and commit to the calling. And I close with this last thought on diligence, and it is the concept of remaining focused. And I get that from going back to the definition itself. You go back to this definition for diligence from Strong's: with haste, earnestness in accomplishing or striving after anything. Now, when you strive after something, there's something you see and you want it, you don't have it, and you want it, and you're willing to keep exerting yourself and applying yourself until you get it. Now, I see the very same imagery applied in going to heaven, where it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that you have to be careful lest you drift. You have to be careful lest you lose your focus and are distracted by the world. And here's the thing about drifting. Nobody drifts upstream. Nobody does. If you want to go upstream, you have to apply yourself. If you want to, if you're in water and it's moving and you want to stay in a certain location, you've got to apply yourself. You've got to apply yourself and stay focused on where you want to be. And I heard it said before, and I think it's a good statement, that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And what I think that means is it's for people who are determined to go there. I don't think anybody is going to make it to heaven, especially having sinned and realizing that sin. They're going to wake up and say, oh, what's this? I didn't know about this. Heaven? Never heard of it. Never thought of this. How did I get here? I don't see any sinner making it to heaven with that thinking. Instead, we're going to get to heaven by the mercy and grace of God. Absolutely. But it will be because day after day after day, we thought about this place, we applied ourselves to get there, we kept denying ourselves to get there, and we stayed focused on getting there. Hebrews chapter 2 says in verses 1 through 3, look at this. It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed. Well, if you could summarize that in one word, what would it be? Diligence, right. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? You've got to apply yourself. You've got to keep applying yourself. And you do that because you are thinking of where you want to go. You're looking at it. You're focused. And so that's why you're diligent. Had a Christian police officer tell me one time that I thought was really cool. He was an officer that patrolled on motorcycle. And he was telling me how they trained them to patrol on motorcycle. And one of the things he said they had to learn to do was to not look at an obstacle. That if there's a car pulling out or there's something there you're trying to avoid, he says the first thing they teach you to do is don't look at it. But instead, you look at where you want to go. You focus on where you want to go and keep your eyes on that, and then you will just drive there. But he says, if people look at that car, or if they look at that whatever they're trying to avoid, if they look at it and they're driving, guess what's going to happen? You'll hit it. Because you go where you're looking. You go where you're focused. And that's especially true mentally and spiritually. We go where we think. And that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that he put forth a lot of effort. And I guess we could say he was very diligent to look at heaven, to think of heaven, to put his mind there day after day. Philippians chapter 3. Now, we know Paul's the one that said, set your mind on things above, not on things below. And I'm telling you, friends, that's true. We have to be people who literally go out and look at the sky from time to time, literally looking at it. But also, spiritually, in our heart from day to day, we take a moment and think about what's all this about. And it's about seeing God. It's about being there with him and finding eternal life with him. Well, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 in verses 12 through 14, he couldn't look at the past. He had to look forward. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Now again, let me ask you, if you were to put that in one word, what would it be? I press on. I press. I believe diligence would be a good way of describing that. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I think about it. I think about it from day to day. And there is just too much value in that. Now, keep in mind, he says, I don't look in the past. And he's talking about the good stuff he did. I don't focus on that. Okay, well, that's great. Well done. But I gotta be focused on the sacrifices that are still required of me. The choices I still have to make. That's what he's getting at. And he says the way I do that is I pay attention where I'm looking. And my mind is there. I want to be with God. And as a result, he is a person who died with faith in the Lord. So I share these thoughts with you, good friends. I do thank you for your attention. But Peter's saying, look, I'm giving you the golden ticket. Here's how you get to heaven. You apply these things. And like I said, he starts out by saying, you got to give some diligence. You got to give all diligence to make your call and election sure. That's a very beautiful thought. Because none of us want to stand before God with our heads hung low for not having tried. None of us want to go before God and not putting forth an effort we know we could have put forth in learning his word or in praying to him or in walking with him from day to day. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. May God bless us. Thank you, friends. If you're here, you're not a child of God, then we encourage you with this song to obey the gospel that will set you free. It's all by the mercy of God through that beautiful sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But if you understand he's the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, he wants you to. He wants you to turn away from every sin you know of and then be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. That's his plan to set you free from sin and enter his body. So we hope you will do that. If you need the prayers of this church or we can encourage you in any way, please come to our God as we stand and sing.